Good Wednesday. Today is December the 3rd, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take some time this week and visit with Mike Steenhoek. Mike is Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, talking about some big news in the railroad industry dealing with railroad mergers. We'll be back with more details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Joining me today is Mike Steenhoek. Mike is the Executive Director for the Soy Transportation Coalition. Mike, thanks so much for your time this morning. Railroads, the topic of the day. Obviously, you deal in all forms of transportation of our products across the country and around the world. But railroads seem to be making the news headlines more and more, especially in light of some of the proposed mergers. Not surprisingly, some of the other railroads are in opposition to this and have voiced concern about it. The president seems to have come in favor or neutral, but we've got some legislators that are definitely expressing concern. Initiative led by Senators John Hoeven and Amy Klobuchar. Expressing their concerns to the Surface Transportation Board, really asking them to scrutinize this. And it looks like it all boils down to the concerns over competition. I guess a question I would have is, from an ag industry standpoint, do you see a risk of reducing competition by this? Because it really creates a supersized railroad compared in size and scale with revenues to where all the other railroads fall out.
Yeah, and that is a notable concern among a lot of agricultural shippers and shippers from other industries, because that's one of the things that history has taught us. This is not the first time we've had consolidation, mergers, acquisitions within the rail industry. There's a long history of that. Mm-hmm. And one of the byproducts of that has been less reliable service, higher railroad rates. Not always, of course, but many times that has happened. And for a rail customer like agriculture, like other industries, the ideal scenario for us is we want as many transportation providers competing for our business as possible, whether it's within the rail industry or even outside the rail industry, trucking, barge, rail, as many as possible that can be competing for our business. That puts the customer in a good position. And now all of a sudden, when you start reducing those numbers of transportation providers competing for your business, that shifts kind of the negotiating dynamic more away from the customer and more toward the railroads in this case. And so that's something that's a concern for us. Now, you'll hear other railroad customers within agriculture and elsewhere talk about the prospect of having more seamless rail service from one area of the country to the next. So if a lot of your assets are located in the western part of the United States, some are attracted to the prospect of having more streamlined service, if you will, to, say, some of the markets in the eastern part of the United States or ports on the Atlantic coast and vice versa. So we have heard and will continue to hear a pretty diverse perspective from agricultural shippers about whether they think this is something that should be approved or something that should be opposed at all costs. There's quite a spectrum that has emerged already. We're going to see that continue.
Again, my guest today, Mike Steenhoek, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, talking about the railroad industry, logistics, some proposed mergers, and the impacts to agriculture. We'll have more with Mike coming up tomorrow and more ag news to follow after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now, talk livestock, and take a look at some of the findings within the Ag Department's latest cattle on feed report, the first one that's been issued since September. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
It was the first U.S. cattle on feed report issued since September, and livestock analyst Michael McConnell says among the findings within the November report,
there are 11.7 million head of cattle in feedlots with a capacity of greater than 1,000 head. That's about 2% lower than a year ago.
Other details from October regarding feedlots include:
we saw 2.04 million head of cattle placed into those feedlots. That's about 10% lower than a year ago. And cattle that were marketed came in about 1.7 million head, which is about 8% lower than a year ago.
The takeaways of the report, according to McConnell:
placements continue to be down sharply from a year ago. That's really just representative of really tight feeder cattle supplies. Some of that is due to the fact that we have sharply lower imports, largely due to the fact that we have bans and restrictions on cattle coming from Mexico, in addition to which we have tight domestic feeder cattle supplies due to where we are in the cattle cycle. And as a result, we're also seeing the rate of marketings reduced from last year.
Also notable from the November Cattle on Feed report, the quarterly look of cattle placement by gender.
The fact that we have a lower share of heifers in feedlots relative to a year ago, that shows that perhaps that we do see some signs of herd rebuilding going on as heifers are retained for breeding rather than being marketed for feedlots. That being said, the level is still relatively high by historical levels, or at least not comparable to other ranching years that we've seen when that percentage is more like in the low 30s rather than the upper 30s.
Bottom line,
we are seeing some indications that perhaps heifer retention is starting to take place in some regions of the country, which eventually would be the start of the herd expansion.
From the price perspective,
we do still see relatively strong prices for both cattle and wholesale beef in the United States at this point of the year. Seasonally, we have seen some prices come down for both feeder and fed cattle, although they remain high by historical standards. That's also true for the beef cutout. Seasonally, it's coming down from where it was in the peaks of the summertime during the summer grilling season, which is normal in most years. However, it's still high by historical standards and continues to remain at elevated levels relative to what we've seen the past couple of years.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.